self.
There we go. Okay.
Sounds like you did
Yeah.
it.
Let me just do a little bit of introduction. So this is an interview with the artist Sarah Beth Kendall. And Sarah Beth has created as a project let me see if I can project your image. If we can share this. Today's date is what? It's the 16th of June, 2025, and the artist Sarah Beth has graciously allowed me to record this and do an interview with her. Let's just start off by let me ask you, Sarah, do you go Sarah Beth or Sarah?
Both. So I
Have a
think most
preference?
people just call me Sarah. Sarah Beth is more of like my name to differentiate myself a little bit because there's so many Sarahs.
Okay. Well,
And so yeah, it either both. I could
okay.
I it's easier probably for Sarah.
Okay. Well, Sarah, first of all, let's start off by let me ask you how is it that you decided to make the project you made, which is basically what inspired you to do Minotaur After Man Ray, which is the project you did.
So, I mean, my work that I was doing at the time, that body of work that it's a part of, and kind of like all of the work that I focus on is dealing with violence against women and the themes of violence against women. And so when I was thinking of what can I do to focus on violence against women in my artwork? I thought of the Black Dahlia, you know, like one of the most famous cases of not just violence against women, but how the violence against her was sensationalized and made for entertainment purposes, you know, like just splashed everywhere all over for ever. It was just used, and it still continues to this day to be used for entertainment purposes.
Yes.
So like it was that kind of that feeling that like violence against the woman that has perpetuated in media. And then I actually had seen your episode of Most Evil that you did probably in 2007. I think it was 2007, 2008 is when it was probably aired. And you were talking about your father and you were talking about the connection to Man Ray. And that is what got me thinking about it. And it was just like, not just the Black Dahlia, not just Man Ray, but just art in general had so much violence against women portrayed in it, the surrealist movement especially. And so for me, it was just kind of like that convergence of ideas where there was this famous case of violence against women, and then this famous, mostly male-driven art movement that, and then even if someone does not believe your theory about your father, it is next to impossible to deny the connections between the Black Dahlia scene and Man Ray's photographs. Like that felt too big. And so that's basically just what it was about for me. It was about saying, you know, artists do work inspired by other artists, and this felt like an art piece that someone did inspired by another artist of the time.
Right.
So,
Had you seen Exquisite Corpse by Nelson and Bayless, the book that they did, the photo book and text? Exquisite Corpse.
I've heard of that thing. So the Exquisite Corpse, that was actually an exercise that we did when I was in school. But I have not seen
Haven't seen their
like
book.
yeah the book, but I understand, you know, that like that chopping up of the form and things where they split things up in that way. That yeah. So that was another kind of like aspect of it, because like obviously we still are using those techniques and things in art school to that these people developed that's got these kind of dubious origins, you know, like why are they chopping things up? Why are they creating things in this way? And then especially considering some of their inspiration sources, the surrealist movement of the time, how they were inspired by Freud, inspired by the Marquis de Sade, and some of them were even inspired by and talking to Aleister Crowley.
Yes.
So
Right. Right.
those are all
Yeah.
that kind of thing. So
Let's see if
fun.
I let me see if we can show your I guess I'm going to hold this up because I can't figure out how to. Let's see if we can see this. Now, okay, so let's see. Now we see your creation. Why don't you describe exactly the material and how you made this? This is a crochet, I correct?
Yes.
And it's a
Yes.
three-dimensional crochet, and we're
Yes.
looking at it in the lower right. And basically, it's showing in the upper left we see the Man Ray Minotaur, which of
Yes.
course, if you turn it this way, you can see he's created it almost to appear. You can see the horns and the breasts become the eyes. And then the gaping mouth of the Minotaur, which of course was the half man, half beast in Crete, who devoured maidens and was imprisoned in a labyrinth. And let's see if we can get this. Okay, now we also see in the upper right, that's actually Juliet Man Ray,
Yep.
Man Ray's wife, Juliet. And she's posed on the couch in the Minotaur, what is commonly known by surrealists as the Minotaur position. And then, of course, we see in the lower left, we see the body of Elizabeth Short, the black known as the Black Dahlia, posed on the lot in the Minotaur position. So that's kind of what inspired you was the Minotaur photograph by Man Ray, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you describe how you made and exactly the material itself, how you made that?
So it's crocheted. It's just wool. It's made out of black carpet wool. So it's mill ends wool from a carpet factory. So it's not garment grade wool. It's not the kind of wool that you'd make a blanket out of. And that actually ties into that kind of like autobiographical aspect of the show for me, because my father laid carpet my whole life.
All
So
right. Okay.
it was kind of that like an autobiographical material. My father laid carpet. My mother and my grandmothers both were fiber workers. They worked with crochet. So like pulling those together, it was like the two aspects of me. So it's my DNA.
Right.
And then so I just crocheted it without any kind of pattern. As I worked on it, I fit it to my own body to get the size. So it is life size. She's as big as me. So I started actually started at the toes and worked my way up and made her in the two pieces. And then she's on a big doily, that like a tablecloth kind of doily, and that was for me to lift her off the ground a little, to create a little bit more of a femininity, and to like to display her in a more positive way, than she was put on display in the first place. So for me, it was about making a beautiful Black Dahlia, but still pulling these references of violence and gore, but obviously making it out of the material that I did. You don't, it sanitizes it. So it becomes black and white, like all of the crime scene photos, and it becomes just, more simple forms and about the open space.
Right. And so you haven't read my book.
I have read part of your first book. I had not before I made this piece. I had only gotten your information from the one episode of the television show that I had seen where you was speaking about it, and that idea of murder as art stuck into my head with it. And so, but I have since read like 75% of your first book. And I don't read a lot of like true crime books. If I'm reading, I want to read fiction. I listen to true crime podcasts. I listen to audiobooks occasionally. But I did watch the TNT series, the We Are the Night. I did not read Fauna's book, but I have that in my list of things to read. And I did listen to the Root of Evil podcast also.
Oh, good.
So like
So
I'm
that was
coming at your family from a little bit more of an advantage than you know about me. So
right. That was actually well done.
it was wonderful.
And I had no involvement in the I Am the Night series. I didn't even know that was being made until I saw a trailer on the internet. So first time I was aware of that. But I was reluctant to involve myself in the radio series, the internet series. Finally, he convinced me that, look, the fictional version is out there and we want to tell the truth. So I decided to agree to do some interviews with that. Well, I really appreciate, and I was quite, shocked to see your piece, because especially 10 years later, to see it. And I didn't know if you were inspired by the book or the Man Ray photographs. Since then, I've made a lot of additional connections to surrealism. And you correctly have earlier stated there was a massive amount of misogyny in the surrealists were misogynists of the highest order. They really,
Absolutely.
and you see it in most of their artwork. You'll see the degradation of women, and it was all part of that time period and that thinking and the symbolism. So, well, I certainly appreciate you talking with me, and I was very curious about the piece. And what I'll probably do is maybe put this on. I do a regular blog on my website, and I'll probably put it up there so people can see your artwork. You also deal in different other medias besides this, right? You paint.
Yeah, well, I do some photography as well, and I've done a lot of different kinds of things with ceramics, so pottery and sculpture with that, some metal work. So right now, currently working on a series that is photography and the fiber arts together. I'm kind of focusing on, since I'm living in Palm Springs now, I'm focusing on that kind of mid-mod time period and like Marilyn Monroe, and her as an icon, and the way that she was treated in the
Yes.
media, and you know, so
Right.
it's dealing with that, and we're still kind of dealing with the way she's been treated. So like, I'm not sure if you're any at all familiar with the Palm Springs area, but we had the big Maryland Forever statue that was it's a huge outdoor statue that is of her from the 7 year itch thing with the dress blowing, and they had that posed in the middle of the street right in front of the Palm Springs Art Museum. And it was actually blocking off. They had closed the street for it. And since they put it up, there was like a multi-year battle, multi-million dollar battle to get that moved, because there were people who decided that, one, they said it was vulgar to have her, this giant woman in her underwear, exposed on the
Right.
street. And they said that they had illegally closed the road to put her on it. So they have since censored her by sticking her in the trees about 80 feet to the side of where she had been. So instead of in the middle of the road, she's now in the middle of the trees, and kind of, so like, there's just that kind of thing where they're still both putting her on display and hiding her away in that kind of way. So like,
Right.
there's some things I'm drawing on there.
Do you have a website?
I don't.
Yeah, my familiarity with Palm Springs, I'll tell you a little story, was it goes way, way back to when Rancho Mirage was just a little tumbleweed town, and shortly after Dad fled the country to Hawaii after he was about to be arrested. Mom and we three boys, she packed us up and we moved out to Rancho Mirage, which was about, what, 50, 20 minutes then from Palm Springs. And we were living in a little rented house out there. I think we were there for probably, so I would have been about 9 years old or 10. We lived there for, I think, about 6 months or 9 months before we came back to the LA area. And she had a screenwriter friend, a rather prominent film director by the name of Roland Brown, who lived out there with his wife and his son. And we kind of, they kind of took us under their wing, and we were friends with them for about 6 or 9 months. And but it was just a nothing town. Rancho Mirage is now a huge development, right?
Yeah, it's huge. It's where a lot of the like
Wealthy.
wealthier people live, Rancho Mirage and Palm Desert, and it keeps getting bigger. And like, we live in Palm Springs proper. We're right on the edge of Palm Springs and Cathedral City, then Rancho Mirage is on the other side of Cathedral City. So so we're here. I follow my husband with his work. He's a retail manager. We've gone from Cincinnati to Hawaii. We were in Honolulu for about 3 years. Then we were in the Bay Area. We were living, yeah. So like, I've weirdly kind of shadow followed a lot of locations with the case recently
You have.
too. Like, not even though it's been since I made the piece, it's not been an intentional thing. It's just a happenstance of where I've been. But yeah, we lived in Fremont in the Bay Area for a little bit, and then we've been down here now almost a solid year. It was last July that we moved down here, and so
Well,
yeah.
I really appreciate you talking with me, and I'm going to go ahead and post a better picture of your artwork, your project, and so people can see it. And I really appreciate you sharing it with us. And
I'm honored that you found it and that you wanted to talk to me about it when, like, I mean, it's an artist's dream to talk to the person that inspired their work, you know, and you're without your research, even the brief research or the smaller amount of research that you had into it at the time, without your connecting it to Man Ray, then I wouldn't have connected it and then had my own research of it, like all pulling from it too. So
Well, actually, Man Ray and my father were very good friends. For about that the 10-year period that Man Ray was in Hollywood. Yeah, he was there in Hollywood from basically 1940 to 41 to 51 for 10 years before he returned to Paris. And I have recently discovered Alphabet for Adults was a book he published back then. And in it, he actually, one of the drawings in it, in the alphabet, is Q for quarrel. And he's actually included the Soudan Hodel house in the drawing, and nudes, and you know they were famous for hiding, hiding information in their drawings and stuff,
absolutely.
and so it's been quite a journey, and I really appreciate your contribution to it, and I'll go ahead and post this, probably the interview and some additional photographs and stuff connecting it on my website, and I'll send you a link.
That'd be amazing. I can send you, I don't have, I can't find the computer with my really good photos on it, but I do have some other photos that I took that I can send you if you want some other photos of, like, more. I don't really have anything that's more detailed than the one that you have, like, as far as the close-up goes, but I do have some others that I can send you that are, like, slightly different angles if you wanted to look at
Oh,
those.
you can. Yeah, that would be great. And I'll take a look and use or not as if if they're appropriate. And mainly it's I'll be able to. I have this one is it pretty much tells the whole story right there, especially when you see it in comparison to the actual crime scene and stuff. It's the body. And well, thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate it, and I wish you all the best, and good luck in your artwork and your family life, and enjoy the. It's going to be about getting pretty hot out there, isn't it? Triple digits.
It's been pretty hot.
I recently moved up to the Northwest to Washington State. And I'm really enjoying it. Up here, I'm closer to my two. I have a son in Seattle and a son in Bellingham, Washington. So, and grandchildren. So, at this stage, it's time to, they said, Dad, stop. That's nine books. Stop. It's time to come up and spend some time with your grandkids. And they were right. So, well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And I'll post this and send it to you.
Thank you so much, Steve. It was an honor to meet you.
Same here. Thanks.
Incredible.
Thank you,
Thank
Sarah.
you.
Okay.